A look at Connecticut high school football action. Sunday morning quarterback on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut with your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Quarterback, which is brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Dutchess Restaurants, fresh food, served fast. We've got a light at the end of the tunnel right now as this weekend's games mark the final one before the Thanksgiving holiday games. And then after that, it's the state playoffs and a lot of different things took hold and took form this past weekend, and we're going to talk about it. Got a good cast of characters to join us. Sean Ireland, my co-host, that's why I use the character there. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Sean and I are going to be joined in a little bit by Timmy O'Neill of the Fairfield Ludlow football team. The Falcons coming off a huge 28-21 win over Staples Friday night, which has got them back into state playoff talk. And then afterwards, we haven't talked to him in a while, and a lot has transpired in Greenwich since we did speak to him, and that's Cardinals coach Anthony Morello, and he will be with us too. Sean, I get a little bit of football talk here in between all the state playoffs and talking about and seeing a lot of Greenwich Red these past few days.
Yeah, every time you look up, they're winning something. You know, volleyball, swimming, soccer, playing, like girls' soccer. I mean, that's if you want a championship, you know, all roads go through Greenwich.
It's crazy. Their boys cross country team won a state title. Yesterday, I covered their volleyball team that won a state title. As soon as we're off the air, I'm heading up to Hartford, where in a doubleheader, their girls and their boys soccer teams are going to be playing for state titles. And then their swim team is going for state title. And then, of course, we've got the football team. But I know, I don't know, you're not a soccer guy, are you?
I actually do enjoy soccer. It's a fascinating sport to me.
I'll tell you what, a word of advice. If you want to have one eye on football today, get the stream of the Greenwich Staples boys soccer game. It's the third time they're meeting, and I'm an ex-soccer player, so this is going to be one of the most fascinating games I cover the entire fall, including football. To put it in proper context for our football audience, imagine if we got a repeat of New Canaan St. Joseph right now. That's the football equivalent of what Staples Greenwich is going to be later.
Yeah, it is what it is. I play that game at Boyle Stadium. play somewhere down here.
We always say that in the FCAC, but they have a great facility up at Trinity Healthcare Stadium, and they play all eight games there. So you got to keep them all together, and that's the marquee game. But let's get back to football, and I want to in a little bit talk about St. Joseph's 24-12 win over Wilton on Friday night. I was there, and it was a real interesting game. But you look over right now, we get to Thanksgiving, and we get the state playoff matchups all set. If the season were over right now, we would have nine teams from the FCAC in the state playoffs. In double L, you'd have Greenwich, Staples, and Danbury. In L, you would have New Canaan, Darien, Ludlow, and Ridgefield. I think something will shake up there. Double M, Wilton's in. M, St. Joseph's in, and they're going to be the favorites. But what does it mean that we have what's the reason we have nine teams? Is the FCAC that strong? Is the state that weak? Has the new FCAC schedule up with balanced play gotten a couple of new teams in, especially with bonus points? And definitely one factor in it, which I know we shouldn't have six divisions in football anymore. We still screw up football and basketball, the two showcase sports in the state.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all that. I do think we are definitely the best league in the state. You know, you really can't argue that. But I think the biggest factor is that last point you made. You know, the fact that there's six divisions, you know, and I'm not knocking any of the teams because it's, you know, they're playing their schedule, they're following the rules, but there's a couple teams on that list that you just said that are probably not really deserving of a state playoff berth right now. You know, they're not doing anything wrong. It's just, you know, there's six divisions. When you have six divisions in a state that's so small, a lot of teams are going to get in that probably should not get in.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, Double L, and some teams wouldn't get in if we consolidated divisions as we should. They've you know, done everything. We're not knocking any team, but you look at Double L, and we've talked about it all year. You have 8 of the 22 teams have winning records. Only the eight teams that would be in right now are the only ones with winning records. You have 8 teams with 2 losses or more. We talked about this. You got Greenwich. Staples is on a 3-game losing streak right now, and they're still 6th. And then we talked about this at the beginning of the year, that we could have a team that's traditionally been weak and plays the weaker teams of recent years, and they're the strongest of that bunch, and they run the table. And that's pretty much what Danbury's done right now. And they're 6-3. They're going to get in. They probably would not if we consolidated, but as things are set up. And the argument the state's going to use, and I understand it. It was great yesterday. If you saw the video, Danbury beating West Hill, and the players are going crazy. And Augie Thierry's getting dumped by a water bucket. And it's hard as for any neutral sports fan not to take that in and feel joy for the Danbury players, which I got to check, but it's been around 20 years since they got in. They were the beneficiary of the league schedule. And the league schedule, it needs to be fine-tuned, but they did it the right way. I think everybody agrees. But, bonus points are going to get some of these teams in. Bonus points are going to help Ridgefield. Bonus points have helped Staples, and I cover the league. I put all 16 in. It helps me out, but I think we should do, because the state's never going to do it. It's all about giving everybody trophies. It's all about gates and making money. It's all about a little bit more of what I would call an intramural-ish approach, but consolidate L's, consolidate M's, consolidate S's, put the tech schools in their own league, and you'd have one heck of a state playoff.
Yeah, Dave, I if you remember, Earl, that, I've been saying that for a year. Go, consolidate to 5, but the 5th division is all the techs and all the co-ops. And, you know, let them play. And if they win the championship, it's very well deserving. So now you look at the L, the M, the S, you know, you look at those. Now you're having legit 8 teams, you know, in each one making the playoffs. And I think everybody wants that. You know, I truly do. I don't think there's not many people who love the six division format. I'm sorry. It's just, we're rewarding too many teams right now. But I think we consolidate 4 divisions, put the techs and co-ops in their own. And I don't think anybody would be mad.
You look at, we reward mediocrity and don't try to go for excellence. And just look at Class L, and Class L's, you know, is strong up top, but the 4-5 game right now would be Weaver Hartford Public Classical against ATI. That's your 4-5 game. So right now, New Canaan would play Ridgefield, which they blew out during the regular season. They would play Ridgefield their first game. They would play the Weaver Hartford Public ATI winner in the semifinals. And the theme song should be The Wizard of Oz, Follow the Yellow Brick Road. You're gonna have so many first round blowouts as well. You're gonna have few really good first round games, and that happens all the time.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the classic point right there, Dave, what you just said. Look at who New Canaan's going to play in the playoffs. You know, it's not really much, you know, but if you combine the two, if you take the top teams from the L and the top teams from the double L, you have a legit tournament. And it's just, I don't know, it's frustrating to watch.
You're going to have first round games, a couple in double L that are going to be blowouts until we wait in the four good teams in there. So it's just too bad. And I know the state hates when we do this, but we're a small state and we just reward mediocrity way, way, way too much. And it's just really a shame. We don't get the best playoffs. We really could. You and I have talked about it. I've talked about this ad nauseum with basketball with Mike Walsh in the wintertime. I'd like to see us be progressive and not regressive. Why can't, since they're making football and basketball different from all the sports, they're basically saying already, the state, you know, we want to showcase these two sports. Why can't we get some sort of a seeding committee and seed the playoffs in the sports? You would have much better fields. You would have much better first round games. You'd actually have some eights and sevens pulling upsets, and not because they're playing highly ranked tech schools. You could have people would be lining up to sponsor a stream of the reveal for the playoffs. It'd be like, you know, what the NCAA tournament, the men's tournament, the women's tournament, what they do. But there are so many ways to do it too. There are so many different polls. You could factor in assorted football polls and also have a football committee. There's ways to do it if you want to do it. The bottom line is the state doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, they want to just give everybody a trophy, and you know, you just scratch your head. You want to reward the best teams in the state. You know, and the best teams in the state are making the tournament. It's not like they're not making it. You want to see a good tournament. That's what you want, you know, and unfortunately, it's not going to happen.
You have, yeah, six tournaments with a whole bunch of, you know, you might as well put four teams in because they're bad first round games. It's just disappointing, and it's an annual rant, and everybody's tired of, at least up at the state, but it's just so frustrating seeing what it could be. And what it is, and you know, like I said, we're not progressive here, and we could be, and we could be state of the art and choose not to be. Why don't we take a break and let's talk a little football on the other side? You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
The Rudin Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and why don't we segue from the state to putting the magnifying glass on the FCAC and the big game of the weekend. I would call it maybe not the last week or two, but for most of the season, the bowl between the two teams that everybody wants to prove were not for real, but have kept proving they are for real, jumping over every obstacle that was put in front of them. And that was the Wilton St. Joseph game. That was two teams, the way they were playing, that it was very, very hard to see either one losing, who was going to lose this game. And it ended up going in the favor of the Cadets, 24-12. Final score, it was 24-6 at one point. So a little misleading because it was a 7-6 game all the way until a minute 21 left in the third quarter when Finn Kilmartin scored his second touchdown, give him a 14-6 lead, and then came a field goal. And then Denny Dustin of Wilton was banged up and was used sparingly at running back. Wilton had to go to the pass a little bit more, but the St. Joseph defense, they make plays, and they did again, getting 10 points off of an interception and a forced fumble in recovery, and then getting the final touchdown on a block punt that was returned for a touchdown. Two good teams. Certainly Wilton didn't do anything in that game to hurt themselves or their reputation, but St. Joseph, Sean, just keeps shining brightly.
Yeah, you know, I watched the game live, and the game was a lot closer than the score indicated. Like, it was a good game. Kind of got a little out of hand at the end there, but, you know, it was a good game. You got to give St. Joe's credit. You know, right now I have them, you know, New Canaan 1, St. Joe's 2. That's what I have. And Wilton's right behind them. Great game, great atmosphere, looked like. The play, the turning point of the game with that interception was third and maybe 10. They threw a little screen pass that was intercepted, and I think that's kind of what sealed the game right there. But both teams played, you know, great. You said it, Dennis Dawson tried to play as best he could. You know, he was banged up. You got to give him credit for, you know, for giving it a go. And, you know, Wilton's going to be fine. You know, they're going to be okay, you know. But, man, St. Joe's, I just looked it up. According to CIAC, they have the toughest schedule in the state. You know, they're 7-2, probably going to be favored on Thanksgiving, you know, and they're just rolling right now.
Yeah, 7-2, a 7-3 loss to New Canaan, where their defense didn't allow a point, an interception, return for a touchdown before halftime. And we talk about the first week loss to Daniel Hand on a touchdown on the final play that should have been penalized. So they're not far from being 9-0, but they've had a brutal schedule. They were saying after the game, I don't know where it came from, that there was something online that was ranking the toughest defenses and had Wilton and Greenwich 1-2. And I don't even know if it came from anybody credible, but you're an ex-coach. You see that, you hold glom onto it for motivation and put it on the bulletin board. And I have a feeling Joe Delavecchio, you know, nobody thinks you're the top, one of the top two defenses. And everybody was saying after the game that was inspiration for them to prove otherwise.
Yeah, I don't know who's ranking the defenses, Dave, but there's not many better than St. Joe's, if any at all. You know, it's what they're doing is unbelievable. I still got to give credit to New Canaan's defense, you know, just based on the numbers. But St. Joe's defense, oh, man, I would not want to go against them. You know, it's just what they're doing. And, Dave, I just looked real quick, you know, St. Joe's, if the season ended right now, all 9 of their opponents stay playoff teams. I'm sure there's not any.
Is it every one of their teams, every one of the teams they've played is in the state playoffs?
Every single one. If the season ended right now, every single
team.
Yeah,
I'm thinking because you had Hand. Who, I'm trying to remember who their other.
Southington.
Who?
Southington.
Okay, that's right. And they played Ludlow.
New Canaan, Richfield, Darien, Staples, Ludlow, Wilton.
What is that? That's just incredible. You know, we're talking about EJ DeNunzio for Coach of the Year, and rightfully so. And I, if things play out, I think he'll get it, and deservingly so. But what a job that Joe has done with this Cadets team. It's just real, and with a team whose offense early on was struggling and still isn't the strength of the team. It's a good, solid, but not a great offense. But boy, is this defense! New Canaan and St. Joseph are the top two, and Wilton and Greenwich are right in there. You look at the four of them together, and boy, it's just really incredible what St. Joseph's doing.
Yeah. Yep. You got to give them credit, you know. And the thing I love about them, Dave, and we interviewed a couple of the kids throughout they have a little edge to them. You know what I mean? They're not cocky, but they're confident. You know what I mean? And I love that. I love the fact, you know, like listening to these kids in an interview, you know, after the game, like, man, they feel like a little slighted where they are, and they're just laying it on people. You know,
the only reason I found out about this, you know, wherever they found this defensive rankings, was they celebrate, and I've covered them a lot. I've probably covered them more than any other team, only because they play Saturday afternoon games. So I've been over there a lot on Saturdays. And again, when you're playing nine opponents that are going to state playoffs, you tend to be the big game most weekends. But they were much more raucous in their celebration after the game than usual. Usually it's business as usual. This one, and obviously they're nine. They beat a team that's 9-0 and was ranked third in the state. So that in and of itself was so big. But again, whatever this, you know, wherever this defensive rankings came from, somebody did Joe and the cadets a big favor. But yeah, you mentioned the rankings. What does this say? And we'll talk to Tony. If you kind of vote in the poll, and you know, New Canaan's undefeated, they're number one. St. Joseph has beaten Wilton, which has beaten Greenwich. What does it say if Greenwich is the one of those, you know, whichever one you want to say, one of those teams is the fourth best team in the league? What's it say like if Greenwich is only the fourth best team in the league?
Yeah, that just shows you're a tough league. You know, like Greenwich could be the third best team in the state, but they're the fourth best team in our league, if that makes sense. You know, it's just unbelievable what the New Canaan, St. Joe's, Weldon, Greenwich, what those guys are doing right now. And then, you know, you got that tier two, you know, they're doing a good job as well. But those four teams, Dave, you said it. If Greenwich is the fourth best team in the league, what does that say about our league?
It's really incredible. I'm using the word incredible a lot. I'm at a loss for I think I've been using too many adjectives during the state playoffs. But yeah, it's and credit to Wilton. And I asked DJ D'Annunzio about this, and I wanted to ask you as a coach, because I think it's interesting. You don't want to lose a game. You want to go undefeated. Yeah, nobody's going to, during the regular season, is going to say, yeah, let's lose one. But as a coach, and EJ kind of agreed with this, I think it's easier to play a playoff when you've already lost once. You've tasted defeat. You know what it's like to lose, and you hate that feeling. And EJ sort of said, yeah, I want to go 13-0. But this is going to be a good learning lesson for you. How as a coach, I said it's kind of counterintuitive to root for your team to lose, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to have a loss going into the playoffs.
No, it's definitely not a bad thing at all. You know, with the absence of the FCAC championship game, you know what I mean? As long as you make the state tournament, your goal is still there. So Wilton is still sitting pretty. You know, they're ranked one in double M. You don't want to lose. You never, ever want to lose a game, okay? But when your overall goal is to win the state championship, okay, that's your goal. And it's still right there in front of you. The loss is a motivation. I'm sure they're looking at themselves in the film right now like, man, we could have done this, we could have done that. So losing is not the end of the world, you know, with the format that's set up, how the format's set up right now.
Yeah, we're gonna go into the state playoffs. Greenwich, New Canaan, Wilton, and St. Joseph are all gonna be favored. I wonder if the FCAC wins four state titles, all four, if that maybe will push the league, the state into doing something. But why don't we take a break here, and we'll move off of that game a little bit, and we've talked a little bit about Ludlow and how the Falcons have played themselves back into a real solid position for the state playoffs. And joining us on the other side will be one of their many two-way players, Timmy O'Neill. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and one of the best stories last season was Fairfield Ludlow qualifying for the state playoffs for the first time, and they may make it 2 years in a row after Friday's impressive 28-21 win over Staples has put them in a situation where if they beat Fairfield Ward on Thanksgiving and they'll be favored in that game, they're going to be going to the playoffs again. And joining me right now, one of their top two-way players, and they have a lot of good two-way players, Timmy O'Neill. Timmy, how you doing?
Hello, Mr. Rudin. Thank you for having me on this morning.
No, thanks for coming on. First of all, what's the mood like right now? Fairfield Ludlow, I didn't look, but it's been a while since you beat Staples.
Yeah, I think that might have been the first time we've ever beat them. We're really pumped. We had that game circled on our calendar for a long time, and we're excited to play Ward for a shot at the playoffs again.
Some people were calling it an upset. I don't think so. I'd covered Staples the previous 2 weeks, and I saw you last weekend against St. Joseph. I thought you guys were a slight favorite, so it's no surprise to me. And you guys have just been playing so well offensively and doing enough defensively, and you led the team with nine tackles. We always talk about the offense, but talk a little bit as one of the top defensive players. You think the Ludlow defense gets a raw deal sometimes?
Yeah, I think we got a great defensive unit. Our coaches watch a lot of film. They always put in great game plans for us. And, I mean, as a unit together, we make a lot of tackles. Some guys were out this week, a little banged up, and we had guys filling in positions. Cole Stoller played a great game at corner. And, yeah, we played a great game of defense on Friday night.
You had two receptions for 22 yards. What's it like, your coach Mitch Ross, I go back with him to junior high school. We graduated high school together. So what's it like? He's known as one of the most innovative offensive coaches, and we see it all the time, and that's been one of the keys to the program's success. What's it like playing on the offensive side of the ball for somebody like him?
Yeah, it's really fun. Coach Ross always has a bunch of great play calls. He gets everyone involved. I think we have like eight receivers with more than 100 receiving yards this year. And we have a great quarterback leading our offense, Ryan Love. The offense, it's a high-flying offense. We pass a lot, but it always keeps defense on their toes.
I don't know if this day and age, if people still play as young kids football in their backyards. There's so much youth football, but to me, at least growing up, we used to play in the yards, and to me, the offense kind of is like what you used to do where you ran plays on your hand and sent everybody out there, and it was just wide open football, and that's kind of what you guys do on an organized level at Ludlow.
Yeah, Coach Ross and Coach Avery, our offensive coordinator, they make a lot of the plays, and they're very strategic. They get receivers open. They know how to beat the defenses we're playing. So it looks like we're always open, but it's really the coaches helping us get open. And
Ryan Love, 27 to 34, 241 yards. I think he's the, and I know from talking to other coaches, best quarterback in the league this year. I'm sure you're not going to disagree. Talk a little bit about him.
Yeah, I think Ryan's the best quarterback in the state. He's one of my best friends, and he's a really hard worker. Ryan and all the other receivers this summer, this offseason, last winter, we put a lot of work in, 7-on-7s, just going to the field almost every day, throwing a bunch of routes. Like, all the receivers have a great connection with Ryan. He always puts the ball on time to receivers and just allows us to make plays for him.
What's it like? It's rare that in this day that so many players go two ways, and your three losses were to all top 10 teams that have greater depth. So you've in a couple of those losses have stayed close for three quarters. You were tied with Greenwich 14-14 going into the fourth quarter. What's it like when you have to go two ways and so many people do, and do you find it's just kind of hard? You wear down a little bit in the fourth quarter?
I mean, I think that's the best part of the game, just being on the field as much as you can. Go make plays on offense, defense, and special teams. And we have a lot of guys who do that, so sometimes it's hard to go play late in games. But we worked really hard this summer with conditioning and lifting, and I think a bunch of our guys are prepared to go four quarters playing both ways.
Sean, jump on in.
Hey, Timmy, great job this year. Keep it up.
question for you. So you guys made the States for the first time ever, okay, and you guys graduated a ton of guys. Obviously, in the locker room, you guys knew what you had coming back, but people around the state did not. Just talk to me a little bit about, like, what was your guys' motivating factor? Because nobody had you guys going 6-3, you know, this year. So what was your guys' motivating factor?
Yeah, well, we had a great senior class last year that showed us the way, showed us what it meant to be a playoff team, and a lot of them graduated. And no one was really talking about us this season, so we knew we were very motivated. We worked very hard. We knew we could do it. We knew we had talent all the way, but we just had to stick to what we know, and we worked really hard this offseason, and it paid off this year.
Good. And tell me, like, what's this week going to be like at practice? You know, obviously you guys, you know, you're a win away from clinching the state playoff berth. You know, you're going to be favored, but at the same token, you know, it's an inner town rival. So, like, what's this week going to be like for you and the rest of the team?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't done anything yet. We need to beat Ward on Thanksgiving to get in. So this week we're solely focused on Ward. We're going to have a really tough week and a half of practice to prepare for them. They're a good football team, and the whole town of Fairfield always comes out to watch the Thanksgiving game. It's always a competitive game. So we got to practice really hard and lock in to beat them.
Well, Timmy, I just want to say again, what you, not only do you, what your whole team is doing and the coaching staff is doing, we're all rooting for you. You know, good luck on Thanksgiving, and hopefully you get the W, and good luck in the state playoffs.
Thank you so much.
When I saw Mitch at Grip It and Rip It, he told me rebuilding year for the team. He didn't know if the team would be able to finish over 500, and he's not one that some coaches will say they're going to be worse than they really think they are. He's pretty honest. But Grip It and Rip It is also 7-on-7. I don't know if you, as an insider in the program, agree, but maybe one of the big keys for this team has been the line play and the offensive line with a lot of players maybe that weren't known coming together and doing such a good job.
Yeah, the line has played great. We were only bringing back one starter from last year, Tucker Seek, and then another one of our starters, Alex Adwin, went down this year with ACL injury, but the line, they're a great unit together. They work really hard. Against Staples, we were able to move the ball, run the ball a lot. We have great running backs, and the line has really held up this year.
This has been the best Fairfield Ward team in a while, and they also have a really good quarterback. I know you all know each other. Is there a lot of behind-the-scenes trash talk that goes on, or just kind of battle about bragging rights that we don't see?
I mean, yeah, we grew up playing with a bunch of the Ward kids and youth football and all that as Fairfield youth football. I mean, the fans, they talk a lot, but as players, we just dial in. We let our game do the talking for the most part.
What would it mean to get back into the state playoffs for the second straight year?
Yeah, it would be awesome. I mean, everyone in the Ludlow football program is hoping that this is going to be the standard from now on, making the playoffs. And we're not only trying to make the playoffs after we beat Ward, but we're trying to make a deep run and get a ring.
What do you see as being the keys going forward so that you could accomplish that?
Our offense has been great all year. We just got to keep that up. We got to stay focused during practice. We got to make a couple adjustments on defense, but I know the coaches will have a great game plan for us for Ward and then upcoming games. We just got to stay together. We always believe we could win any game that we're in. So it's just all about confidence for us.
I got to say, I got a text message yesterday when I announced who the guests are. And the text message read, "You're putting my point guard on today." And I told John Daly, I said, "I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask which coach that you play for. Do you have more confidence in a big situation?" I'm not going to, I'm just kidding. That was a joke for John Daly. You're real lucky because you get coached by two of the best.
Yeah, they're both awesome. I love playing both sports. They make it easy for me. They understand that there's always going to be conflicts and stuff, but Coach Daly and Coach Ross are both awesome coaches, and I'm grateful to be able to play for them.
Nope. Yeah, and people in the FCAC, and you talk about the best coaches, those two are at the top of the list in the sports. Well, Timmy, we always the Rude Report in particular, like good stories, and we like when we see other teams other than the ones we talk about annually having success, and Ludlow falls into that category. And like you said, Mitch and all you guys have done a great job at becoming, making this a standard. So good luck against Ward, and hopefully you get into the state playoffs, and I hope you guys are able to do some damage there as well. Thanks a lot for taking the time here.
Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Rudin.
Okay, thanks. That was Timmy O'Neill, and we're going to take a break. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Expert analysis and all things high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and Sean, it's, yeah, you were in the same sort of boat over at Norwalk, where you were able to have, you know, the pockets of success and get the teams in the playoffs. It's really a lot of fun seeing what's happened at Ludlow, a school that everybody said was never going to be successful in football. And then you look at what the crowds are like there on Friday nights, and it's just it's a feel good story.
Yeah, yeah, what they're doing, you know, you said it, Dave. You know, when we did the season preview, I think they had two returning starters. You know, like we said, okay, where's Ludlow going to be? Their schedule's a little tough. And here they are, 6-3, staring one win, you know, and they're building something there. It's not just, it's a program now. You know what I mean? So it's credit to Mitch and the whole staff there, but he's got the train rolling.
I froze there at the end of the interview because I had something I want to ask him, and I forgot what it was going to be. They don't have a lot of seniors on that team right now. That class is really junior heavy and underclassmen. This may not be, if they get in, a two-time deal.
Yeah, I do not know their roster. I don't know, but if they don't have a lot of seniors, they're going to be at the top of the league next year.
Ryan Love's only a junior. Timmy's only a junior. There are a lot of juniors contributing. Yeah, we talk about Mitch Ross and how innovative he is, and that goes back to when he was offensive coordinator at Darien for a lot of their state championship teams. What was it like when you had a coach against a team that he was either running the offense at Darien or over at Ludlow?
Well, it was never fun, I can tell you that, because you got to, you know, when you play other teams, you got to stop them for three downs because they're going to punt. Mitch does not punt. So it's very nerve-wracking, like, all right, guys, you got to get off the field, but you got to get an extra down to get off the field. But he always has guys in the right spots. You know, his game plans are always well put together. You know, guys are open. You know, you think you have something covered, but then somebody pops up open somewhere else, and the quarterbacks are always very smart. Every quarterback he has is always a smart kid. But yeah, what Mitch does offensively, I mean, I don't think there's many people that are better than him.
That's kind of cool too. He's sort of an unconventional coach in terms of the way he coaches the kids. It's all upbeat. It's never negative. It's the glass is always half full. You never hear a four-letter word out of his mouth. He wants to win as much as anybody, but he wants it to be fun. And I sort of noticed as I was waiting to interview him after the St. Joseph game as well, after he and the other coaches talk, that they all the coaches line up and all the players, just like they do in a handshake line with the other team, they do a handshake line, the whole team, with the coaches after a game. That kind of, to me, that picture sort of was representative of the way Mitch runs the entire program.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He surrounded himself with good people as well. He's always calm. You said it. You'd never see him angry. Never. I've never seen him angry. I never seen him raise his voice. You know, he'll get excited, but not angry. You know, big difference. So, yeah, he's doing a great job.
Let's give a couple minutes of praise to, you know what it was like your early years in Norwalk until you got to the state playoffs. Yeah, we talked a little bit at the top of the show about the way we'd like the playoffs to be, but the way the playoffs are right now, you know, props to Danbury. They did exactly what we talked about. They proved they were the best of the teams that have predominantly been in the 3-4 win area, and they pretty much ran the table, and they're going to the state playoffs. And social media, you saw the positive pictures yesterday. You remember what it was like, I'm sure, the first time you got Norwalk to the playoffs.
Dave, it's hard to explain. It really is. You know, I think when a football team is good, the whole culture of the school like revolves around that. I truly do. You know, like when the years that we were very good, you just feel it in the hallways. You know, you feel it everywhere you go in town. You feel it in a town like Norwalk, Danbury, Stanford. You know, Donnie could tell you a couple of years ago when they made it. Literally, the whole entire town gets behind you. And it's just a great feeling. It's just a lot of fun.
And Augie talked about that when he was on a couple weeks ago, but it's great for the school. It's great for the kids. I'm not surprised at all. I thought it was Danbury or Norwalk. One of those two teams was going to be the one that emerged. And I just remember the Saturday morning, late August, early September, when I went up to their practice, and it was so upbeat. And Augie talked about just all the activities that the team does together, a really closely knit bond there. And you know, that it's again the good side of the way the state playoffs are right now. Is seeing the Hatters have the experience, and you know they're going to go into the state playoffs. They're going to have a real tough first round game, and they're going to be playing with house money, and just are going to go out there and let it rip.
Yeah, it, one of the things they're going to start looking at. I mean, all their focus is on Ridgefield right now. But now they're going to kind of peak a little bit. And like what I just hope, they don't play an FCAC school in round one. You know, let them play a non-FCAC, and let's just see what happens. You know, I don't want to see them, you know, get the, you know, them play Greenwich in round one, you know, so let them play the New Britain, let them play a Fairfield Prep, a Southington, and just see what happens. Let's just see what happens.
I agree with you 100%. Why don't we just quickly, because he's going to be joining us on the other side. Greenwich has been riding the roller coaster a little bit the past few weeks. You know, lost to New Canaan, win in between, lost to Wilton, and then they bounce back and have a very strong win against Darien Friday night. And again, those top four teams, somebody has to be the fourth team. If at this point right now, and I'm not saying it's going to end this way, but if you play the St. Joseph beat Wilton, which beat Greenwich, and you want to look at that as the criteria and put Greenwich fourth, That's got to be the best number four team, whichever four of the four you want to put there. It's got to be the best number four team in FCAC history.
Yeah. I mean, the top of the league is so good right now. They really are. Greenwich could play if all four of those schools. They could play each other, and it's going to be a different outcome every time. If Greenwich play Wilton now, they might win. If Wilton played St. Joe's next week, maybe they win. You know, if St. Joe's plays New Canaan, maybe St. Joe's wins, you know. So those four teams, I think anyone can beat those four at any given time.
I'm not advocating for this, but what would it be like if we saw the FCAC tournament and you had two rounds and you had these four playing against each other? It would be crazy. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we'll learn a little bit more about the Cardinals with their coach, Anthony Morello. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Everything you need to know about high school football. The Rudin Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and Anthony Morello will be joining us shortly. Cardinals, it's kind of funny, Sean, that you have a weekend where Greenwich and Darien isn't the marquee game of the week.
Yeah, Dave, I was thinking about that before, how, you know, in years past, if Greenwich plays Darien, that's the game we're leading off with, and you know, it barely got mentioned at all.
Yeah, it was, I don't want to say it was an afterthought, but there was so much talk about Wilton and St. Joseph, the way they're playing, but, and you know, Darien's one of the teams, we talked about Danbury being a beneficiary of the new schedule. If Darien loses to New Canaan, they could be in trouble, and they could be the team. We talked about a higher-ranked team that may end up having the table run on them, and Darien could be in that position.
Yeah, if Darien loses, they're going to be in tough shape. If they lose, if they're still in the tournament, they're probably playing New Canaan again. So... you know, that South Windsor 6-3. I'm assuming they should beat Enfield. So does that bump them up to 8 if Darien loses? You know, who knows? Because Fairfield Ludlow is going to be favored. Ridgefield Danbury, that's going to be the good one. That's going to be the big one. But yeah, Darien, if they lose, they might be out.
Yeah, it could be in trouble. It's Ridgefield and Danbury play the night before. On Thanksgiving always, and that's a big play-in game. But we talked a little Darien, but Greenwich is a team we know that's going to be in the state playoffs, and I think despite the two losses, we'll be the favorite in double L going in. And joining us right now, big friend of Sunday Morning Quarterback, Cardinals coach Anthony Morello. Anthony, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Dave? How's it going, Sean?
Doing
good.
Doing well. I haven't talked to you since New Canaan. Been as you said in the text yesterday, a lot to talk about. Let's start with Darien. A real impressive performance by you guys with a 35-14 win.
Yeah, it was really important for us to get off on the right foot. It's been a grueling back half of the schedule, opening with New Canaan at New Canaan, then heading right to Ludlow. Followed up by a 6-day turnaround up at Wilton, and then hosting Darien at home on Friday night. So it has been a grueling regular season for pretty much every FCAC team that you talk to this year. But we were really happy with how we came out on Friday. The offense had some struggles early on in games over the past few weeks, so we really made an emphasis at practice to come out and get those first points. And don't look back.
I remember talking with you midfield with Mars Petrasio before the Trumbull game and talking about schedules. And you guys have had brutal schedules, and yours is really back-ended. It says something in light of what happened this past weekend that your big Thanksgiving game with Staples on paper is the least difficult one, and I'm not saying it's not a difficult game, but the least difficult of your second half schedule.
Well, you can throw records out the window for Thanksgiving games, and I'm sure New Canaan and Darien, you know, they'll say the same thing over there, and Trumbull and St. Joe's, like, you just have to find a way to win on Thanksgiving. There's a lot of other elements involved. You have to get up really early. You know, there's this lag in between where you have this week off. I think most teams are probably more excited for the bye week than in past years because it allows some time to heal and regenerate before a grueling postseason and 4 games in 17 days or whatever it is. So Yeah, no, we're really excited for our Thanksgiving game. We lost the last three Thanksgiving games against Staples. So, yeah, we're not really concerned with playoffs. We're not concerned with records. We're just concerned with winning at 10 a.m. on November 27th.
What was the mood with the team after the New Canaan game? You have the much-hyped 1-2 game. You lost a very competitive, close game. What's the mood? Where's your team, and where's your mindset as a coach had after that game?
Well, it's like anything. You when it comes to football, you lose. Your wins are going to mask a lot. Your wins mask a lot. And our first five games, you know, we played pretty well, but we weren't sure what our opponents were going to be by the end of the season. You just don't know a lot about the teams that you play early in the year. And when we took that loss to New Canaan, we knew we had our chances, and you know, we're firm believers that, you know, we control our own destiny, and we can be our own worst enemies at times. We put our best foot forward and turned things around at Ludlow, but after the loss from Wilton, you know, you're a two-loss team. The expectations in town are so high, it's easy for doubt to start to creep in. Doubt of your teammates, doubt from your coaches, and doubt can be a very dangerous thing. So, you know, we needed to make sure that our practice habits only got better, that we were not focusing on positional groups and positional groups just worrying about themselves. It's like, this is a team effort. We all have to believe in each other. We all have to go at this together with one goal. And the big emphasis this week with Darianne was, you know, you're a great football team. You lost to two 8-0 football teams, are now a 9-0 and an 8-1 football team at their place. You know, it's a tough pill to swallow, but everything that this team has wanted to be is still right there in front of them. And you just have to look at it game by game. And obviously, having a lead and putting that pressure on the opponents, every game that we've led, with the exception of the 3-point lead we had over Wilton, we've taken care of business. So, but overall, it's the team morale, right? After a loss, regrouping, figuring out whether, you know, it was a schematical issue, whether it was performance related issue, or whether it was mental issue. And a lot of our penalties that happen outside of the whistles, procedural penalties, unsportsmanlike stuff, that's the stuff that needs to get taken care of. Because even on Friday, we overcame penalties in the second half. Unfortunately, we put ourselves out in front enough that, you know, the penalties didn't have a huge impact on the end result. But still, we're playing with energy. We are going 1,000 miles an hour on defense. And, you know, when you're teetering the line of playing aggressive and playing sound and then playing, you know, a little too reckless.
What's your mood now after the last week's game against Wilton? You had three 70-yard-plus drives, and you only finished with 3 points. Is that a game? And Wilton's a great team, and there's no shame in losing to an opponent like that. But is that one more so you feel like you left one on the table?
Yeah, of course. Of course, in so many ways. The regular season is about, you know, determining who your foxhole guys are, who are the numbers that you're going to call in pivotal moments. And up until that point, every number that we had called during the regular season had executed. We had our kicking game has been our strength for the majority of the season. So I didn't even think twice about our field goal attempts when we were down inside the red zone, blustery conditions or not. And I still have faith in our kicking game, you know, snapper, holder, kicker, and everyone blocking, that we're going to get that done when we need to in those big moments. Now, that game went from being one of my favorite games I've ever called for the better part of 3.5 quarters to, you know, a game that we want to forget just in an instant. I loved our style of offense. We ran the ball up and down the field. A couple of penalties, and there are probably a few opportunities there to throw the ball that that I wish I had dialed up our quarterback Phil's number to some of those receivers late in that game. So I definitely could have called a better game, especially in the red zone there, and maybe taken a few more chances. But I love the style of play that we had that night, and if we were victorious in that game, and it was a 3-0 victory, that would have been one that that I saved on the mantle, because I was really proud of the practice week that we had for that, the game planning we had for that, and you know, we really used our size, our strength, and our ability to impose our will. It just didn't equate to points when we needed them.
Sean, jump on in.
Coach, how you doing?
I'm great, Coach Ireland. How are you? I'm still going to call you Coach.
Right.
You can't get rid of it. You can't ditch that label.
It's one of the best. Besides, it's one of the best labels you can have. Coach, talk about Phil Tarantino. Arguably his best game against a very good opponent. You know, there's got to be maybe sometimes we forget, hey, he's only a sophomore. You know what I mean? But just talk about how he's been progressing. Again, it looks like he's peaking at the right time right now.
Yeah, Phil's great. We need to make sure that we're putting him in great opportunities to be successful. Phil hasn't wavered one bit. He is so level-headed. He scores a touchdown, and it looks the same when he's jogging off as if he, you know, we were going into a punting formation. So I could always talk to him in-game. We have a great relationship off the field. You know, so these teams that we were playing, all really, really good secondary, really well-coached defenses. We faced some of the best defenses in the state. You know, I think St. Joe's, you know, maybe Hand. Those are two of the other defenses that I've gotten a chance to watch that really are ferocious. But we've faced our share of great defenses this year. They challenge our quarterback. A lot of teams have junked it up. They have not shown their typical defense, their typical blitzes, their typical alignments when we get out there. So it's, you know, we've had to spend a drive or two making our adjustments on the sideline to whatever defenses are throwing at us week by week. And being a run-heavy team, a lot of teams have chosen to load the box and, you know, play man coverage, which, you know, if our receivers aren't getting open, if they can't break man coverage, there's not going to be anything there for our quarterback. So we've spent a lot of time on man beaters, getting our receivers into a spot where they can be successful and get free and let Phil just put it on the money. Case in point, against Darien, we had a quad formation down on the goal line. We went over it a billion times at practice. They started out with a 4-2 box that was always to throw the ball to Hector, throw the ball to the quads, let the big guys block, and let Hector dive in the end zone. If that linebacker expands, you know, out into the zone, out into the quads look, you're going to run that quarterback run, and they stayed in it all the way till the very end. Then that linebacker popped out of the box. Phil saw it. Phil kept it and got the score. So his understanding of what I'm trying to call or what I'm trying to put in, that really showed last Friday. And he's making plays for us, and we can't wait to see what he's going to continue to do and develop through the offseason and beyond.
Hey, Tony, we got to take a break. Can you hold on with us a little longer?
Of course.
Okay. We'll be back on the other side with Anthony Morello. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
The Rudin Report Live presents Sunday Morning Quarterback, a look at Connecticut high school football with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back with Greenwich coach Anthony Morello. Sean, keep at it.
All right, Coach. So I didn't know this until you just said this. So your senior class, they have not beaten Staples. Is that correct?
On Friday night. We've had some
motivation there.
Yeah, I think if anything, I'm going to have to try to settle them down. They could care less about records right now. They want that Thanksgiving win, and we talk all about, you know, that turkey and how it's going to taste on Thanksgiving. For any team in Connecticut, I think losing on Thanksgiving kind of puts it, you know, dampens the mood for that Thanksgiving meal. So and we've had to swallow that cold turkey for 3 years straight. So they're very, very motivated, And, you know, I told the guys on Friday, I still think we've played some really good football games, and we performed well for halves, but we're still yet to put together our most complete football game of the season, our best football game of the season, I still think is going to be down the road. And what better opportunity than on Thanksgiving.
Well, Coach, I just want to wish you the best of luck. You know, get this W and good luck in the playoffs.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We got a lot of FCAC action right now, you know, and I know, you know, it's kind of taking its toll on everybody, you know, looking at Wilton and St. Joe's schedules. That's wild. That's crazy, man. They've had some crazy schedules this year. You know, we're all fighting for that common goal, and we're going to battle each other all regular season, but come postseason, you know, we're rooting for every FCAC team that we, you know, we're not lining up across from. And, you know, if things fall out the way they are now, we're going to have a lot of FCAC teams in those upper classes. So, and a lot of opportunities for everybody. So I think that was the whole point with the scheduling, was to, you know, give everyone a shot at getting into the playoffs. Now, if that means we got to go on the road in the semifinals, and it gives a team like a Ridgefield or a Danbury or a Ward an opportunity to compete, then hey, I'll get on a 2.5-hour bus ride to New Britain. Let's go, giddy up, or wherever it has to be. I haven't been in New Britain since 2003 when I almost froze. We all froze our bodies in the 3-degree temperatures. it was a CIAC semifinal game, and I was a player. So, you know, whatever opportunity comes our way, we're going to make sure we're prepared for it. And, you know, our playoff track record has been pretty good, the last few years. So, I have confidence in this staff and this program that, they'll have the right mentality, but first things first.
What's it say about the strength of the top half of the league? You can make an argument, somebody voting in a poll, you know, New Canaan won, and then St. Joseph beat Wilton, and Wilton beat you. So that there's one school of thought that could say you're the fourth best team right now. One of you four, including Wilton and St. Joseph, one of you is the fourth best team. What's it say about the league when you look at that?
Yeah, I mean, it speaks volumes. Now, I could go and say, well, hey, let St. Joe's play Wilton on a Friday night first, and then let us pick up the scraps of what's left the following week as well. Because from my understanding, Wilton was a little banged up after their game against us and was missing a couple of key pieces last Friday night as well. So I'm not sure that the Wilton team that, you know, the Wilton team that St. Joe saw was quite the same as the one that we saw. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, the reality is, like, rankings are whatever. You know, you always want to be number one. At least I want to be number one in everything that I do, everything that I coach. But hoisting a championship at the end of the season, that's as good as the number one for me as it needs to be. And I think I speak for the entire team when I say that was the goal at the beginning of the season, and that's still a very obtainable goal right now at this time. But well, hell, I said when these schedules came out, I said, if anybody runs the table, if anybody in the FCAC can run the table, they're an undisputed number one team, not just in the FCAC, but in the state.
Well, you're going to be the favorite, certainly in my eyes and the eyes of most people, going into Double L, even with the two losses, and could be looking at a rematch with Fairfield Prep or maybe a New Britain, but... Tony, you've done a great job as always, and the Cardinals are always a fun watch with all the depth of talent and the different offenses you've been playing. So congrats on what you've done to get here. Good luck with Staples, and we'll be talking a lot down the road as we get into the state playoffs.
Hey, I just want to plug the Danbury Hatters real quick and Coach Thierry. Coach Thierry is so welcoming to me. When I got started, he was the head coach before I was in the FCAC. That guy's been grinding up there in Danbury. He's so active in the offseason on social media. He cares so much about that program and those kids. I'm so thrilled for him getting that first postseason berth and clinching that this weekend, and for those players. I really hope the way it breaks down, we don't see them in the first round, because I think they could do some really dangerous things. So I don't want to play them for that reason, but also, like, I want to see them make noise for the FCAC and in the Double L. Really, really happy for Coach Thierry and that group as well. And that's all I got.
Nope, that, we're all in agreement with that one. So thanks a lot again, and we'll be talking soon.
Thanks, Dave. See you, Sean.
Take care, Coach.
Okay, that was Anthony Morello, and as we finish up here, I got about a minute left. We have a bye week, except for Wilton, which doesn't have a Thanksgiving opponent, and they get Hill House, and they should finish up 9-1. But we get a little bit of a rest until next week, and then preview Thanksgiving games.
Yeah, it's good. This is the best week of the year for me. And Dave, I just got to give a quick shout out because I was at the North High game yesterday. James Delva, the quarterback on Ward, he is good. He is very, very
good. Yeah, James Delvecchia, I know you wanted to shout him out.
Yeah, he would start on most of the teams in the league, you know, and he's the reason why Ward is having success. But, man, it was a windy day yesterday, and that kid was just throwing the ball all over the place. So I had to give him a shout out.
It's going to be fun on Thanksgiving in Fairfield with Ryan Love and James Delvecchia airing the ball out. So, Sean, I got to get in from football to football and get into a little bit of soccer mode and see in red. But thanks a lot, and we'll do this next week.
Sounds good, Dave.
And that's this week's Sunday Morning Quarterback. Thanks to Paul Goodman for his great production, to Timmy O'Neill and Anthony Morello, and thanks to our sponsor, Duchess. Fresh food, serve fast. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.